Now, my plan for this afternoon is to cover the following areas. First of all, for about a half an hour, give you a summary report of my mission trip to Moscow, Warsaw, and Rome. And then get back to old business. With me in going to Moscow were two Ignatian catechists and three Marian catechists, including Daniel Pieper, John McAlpin, who speaks fluent Russian, and three Marian catechists, two from the Detroit area, and a medical doctor, Marian catechist from Pittsburgh. The immediate reason for my going to both Moscow and Warsaw was to teach the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa. As you know, they have been under instruction for almost 8 years. Holy Father wants Mother Teresa's sisters to get into catechetics, which they are in. And the purpose is that they, in turn, might train lay catechists to evangelize and catechize others. We came into Moscow airport, and then from there we went about 30 miles outside the city because the sisters who were to participate were no more numerous than any facility that they have in the city of Moscow. I spent 10 days in Moscow, a mass in the morning at 6:30 till about 9:30 in the evening, and very little free time in between. The recording of the countries that I gave will be eventually available after some editing for sale. The concentration of the conferences, both in Moscow and in Warsaw, was on morality, because that is the main problem facing these two countries, mainly, of course, in Russia, but also in Poland. Because whatever else communism has done to the countries that it took over, it not only weakened and in some cases even destroyed the faith of believing Catholics and Russia of believing Orthodox. It also, and I would say especially, badly damaged to the point of destroying the moral principles, certainly in Russia and quite heavily also in Poland. In other words, the re-evangelization of Russia will mean restoring sound, basic Christian principles of morality. Besides the lectures that I gave, as I say, be eventually available, we also had conferences with the sisters, private conferences, about 35 in Moscow and about 75 in Warsaw. Vocations to Mother Teresa's sisters are multiplying fast, especially in formerly communist-occupied territories. However, the problems for the church, and I distinguish between Russia and Poland, the problems are gigantic. First of all, Russia. 70 years of communist occupation has done incalculable damage not only to the faith of millions of once believing Orthodox Christians, but especially incalculable damage to the most basic moral principles. The lowest figure they give in Russia, the lowest figure that the average Russian woman by the age of 40 has had at least 5 abortions, running up to 10 and 15, not unusual, all mandated by the government. And besides, of course, legalizing abortion. And this is where we have a lot to learn. Because Marxism, which is the philosophy underlying communism, Marxism has deeply, profoundly affected our country. Profoundly. What the government did was practically remove Zyker Hill, 30 miles of traveling by car, where I was lecturing in Moscow on 3 occasions. Almost nothing are what we call homes or houses. They seem not to exist. The people live in gigantic, I wouldn't want to call them apartment houses. They are huge square buildings rising to 15 stories with just enough room for at most 2 children. As mile after mile, we saw these huge buildings. All I could think of was, these are prisons. In other words, by doing 2 things, which our country is also doing, by promoting housing, shall we call them facilities, for only a very small number of people. The size of the family, we can still call it a family, was drastically reduced in Russia and being systematically reduced in our country. With the state in control of the economy, as the state is in control of our economy here, I think I did tell you, remembers, who first invented and promoted the income tax?
Karl Marx.
By controlling the economy and the cost of building or housing, place where people can live, inevitably the size of the Coates family was reduced to a minimum of 2 children. Minimum? Pardon me, maximum. The other way that communism reduced the size of the, I keep calling it family, was by promoting, from the dawn of Marxism, promoting equal rights for women, equal rights to equal wage, equal rights to the professions, equal rights to pay. And as a result, Russia has been for 70 years practicing what we are trying to pass in the United States, the Equal Rights Amendment. 70 years of ERA is a good description of Russia under communism. Human men being busy with work, and of course the economy being such that women had to work, kept the population down to a predetermined level. The morality, therefore, under communism, he has it even calling it morality, because morality implies certain basic principles of moral conduct. Not only under communism was Siberia a prison country, but so was a great deal of Russia. Unless people are taught the moral law, the only way you can get people to observe when I call them still some semblance of sane human conduct is under duress, under force. We have that brought home to us on the fifth day that I was in Moscow. At 11 o'clock at night, I was doing my work upstairs in my room, heard a loud, most unusual crash. The building we were living in, that is sisters, and then the two Ignatian catechists and myself, with a makeshift chapel to allow for the conferences, mass, and holy hour. Instead of a wall, there are huge windows. One of those windows on the first floor was crashed open. So we rushed downstairs, and all I know is that I was very happy to see this gang, three carloads of gangsters, came to rape the missionaries of charity. Well, three of us men were there, and we faced these gangsters. Needless to say, I wouldn't be telling the story if they had been armed. Now, they may have been armed, but, well, they came through it alive. Where are the women? Where are the women? Should we talk to them? And, you know, the police were called to go over half an hour for the police to come. By that time, they could have destroyed that community. And when the police came, they didn't arrest anyone. They came conveniently with facilities for boarding up the window they'd been crashed. Not a window, it was a wall. Talk to these gangsters. And I think I should say this. Seemed to be the leader of this gang. Man, I would say in his mid-20s. Heavy leather jacket. On the back of the jacket, in metal letters, somehow, on the back of his jacket was the word posse, P-O-S-S-E. Could mean anything. Posse in Latin, you know, means to will. To do. We have power to do. But this later, by that time the sisters were down, we were talking, waiting for the police. And he genuflected, saw my cassock. By the way, I cannot tell people the cassock is also protection. And he genuflected on one knee. However, these gangsters were living in this large area with a lot of, call them apartment houses, a kind of vacation grounds for communist workers. Now being rented out to, well, whoever has the money to pay for the use of the apartments. We had a meeting with the Archbishop of Moscow. Spoke good English. His office was cold. The temperature, of course, in Russia and also in Poland, is now very cold. But that's not all, because they don't have adequate heating. So in his office, the Archbishop was bundled up in his heavy overcoat. And a shawl around his neck. I have already begun writing up my reports. And some of this I'll be able to share with you in more detail. But I want to tell you, Russia is wide open to evangelization. And I promised the Archbishop, told him about the Ignatian and Marian catechists, and promised him we would be of service. For a while he was both skeptical and not so communicative. So all kinds of people come to Moscow. They tell me they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They leave. Nothing happens. Over 200 million people who have been robbed in many ways of their Christian faith are hungry where the Catholic Church can provide them. And the Orthodox, as we call them, as you know, have been especially hard hit because Russia for 700 years had not been Catholic after what became the Orthodox bishops rejected papal authority, and mainly for two reasons. Mainly because married people wanted to divorce and remarry. And the bishops were giving annulments right and left. From the 7th to the 13th century. By the 13th century, there have been so many annulments, just a matter of course, to then organize a church independent of Rome. Am I clear? And And the second reason was the priests wanted a mirror. They did not want to live a celibate life. Have you heard that anywhere in the United States? No wonder it's on my mind, so I think I should say it. In Chicago, I was there yesterday in Chicago for a wedding. One of my friends gave me the newsletter from a large parish in the Archdiocese. Where Bishop Antoner will be giving the parish mission promoting the American church. Russia then, under the communists took over, had been an Orthodox Christian country. Only God knows how many believing Orthodox Christians are still left in Russia. Here the problem in Russia had been for centuries before the rise of communism, and that is that the Orthodox were and are a state church for centuries. All the czars of Russia and the patriarchs of Moscow were of the same family, the Romanovs. Some of the Orthodox churches are now reopening. But what could not be clearer, the Orthodox do not want, and the word they do not want, the Catholic Church in Russia. That's why the Archbishop of Moscow is living in a rented apartment and, I can add again, in an ice-cold office. The Catholic Church has legal freedom to be in Russia. I asked the Archbishop, do you have any kind of communication, you know, written, printed communication among your people? Nothing. He does not have access to the media. In the meantime, pornographers, cults, sects are pouring into Russia with millions of dollars of constant financial backing. If Russia is not converted, I hesitate to say this, it will be mainly our fault. I have said this before, but I repeat it with a resounding emphasis. The Americans are living in a dream world, in a mesmerized world. We don't really know how other countries, including so many of our fellow Christians and fellow Catholics, are suffering for their faith. But in Russia, it was obvious that the Catholic Church, now having the legal rights to not only enter the country, but catechize, evangelize, build. But the Mazuma. When I talked to that shivering archbishop in Moscow, I thought to myself, said a prayer, Lord, what a difference between the warm, protected comfort of millions of people in countries like the United States, where except for hearing what I am telling you now, and much of this does not even appear in print, go do nothing, and there is nothing about it. As the Archbishop told me, what we want is you Catholics to do something. In time, Lord willing, this will become more clear and even more specific. Now in Warsaw, Poland, as you know, has been a Catholic country for centuries. However, communism has worked incalculable damage on the Polish people, forbidding religious instruction in schools, controlling the lives of the people, imprisoning, even killing those who resisted the communist government, has taken its toll. And the result is that once Poland was liberated from communism, thanks to the Catholic Church, only God knows how many, but too many people of Poland now don't see the need for the Catholic Church anymore. She has served her political purpose. Thank God the faith is still strong, but not everywhere. As happened in Moscow, so also in Warsaw. Except this time, I had between 70 and 75 missionaries of charity from 12 countries attending the conferences. And the purpose was the same, to train these young religious to return train lay catechists to preserve and promote the Catholic faith now in Poland. This time, had an hour's meeting with the Cardinal of Warsaw, Cardinal Glenn. Did not have any of the Marian Ignatian catechists with me, but I had the regional superior from Poland. He does not speak very good English, but we carried on between my Slovak and his Polish, and a little English, the regional superior's French. He managed to cover the grounds. The needs in Poland are different. Schools are now required to teach religion. Well, they tell me, no one knows how long that will go on, because the opposition is strong. In other words, to teach the Catholic religion for people who have penetrated Poland now, and those who have been Catholic and lost their faith. Only God knows how long that will continue. The need for the Catholic Church in Poland is for people in countries like ours, and I would say especially for those of Polish ancestry, to realize how desperately poor in every sense of the word Poland is. And in some ways, Russia is being financially assisted by other countries to a degree that is not true of Poland. Again, the cold. And I was staying for this time, again about 30 and 40 miles from Warsaw for the same reason. The sisters did not have a place large enough in the city of Warsaw for the conferences. So we met in Wiel, a larger facility which they have outside of Warsaw, where they train their young, the novices and the juniors. From, as I said, about 12 different countries. After my last conference, usually about 9:30 at night, and Mass the following morning at 6:30. What I was able to do in Warsaw, I was so happy. In Moscow, I had one visit of a priest during my stay in this outlying district of Moscow. So I went to Moscow several times to get a confession. In Warsaw, it was a parish within walking distance. Daniel Pieper led the way. Risky business. And cars coming both ways. How long would you say the walk was, Daniel?
Probably 2/3 of a mile, and over about a mile on the way back.
What did he say about?
2/3 of a mile and a mile on the way back.
Okay. Well, we trudged that through the ice and snow and walked back and got to know the pastor. And wonderful. He was an ordinary pastor in a, shall I say, a small parish. 2,000 families of the parish, but he spoke fluent Latin. So I went to confession in Latin, got my penance in Latin. Isn't that delightful? Wait only. He averages about 70% of the people go to Mass. How many Masses does he have every day? Remember, Daniel?
I think two.
Every day? How many on Sunday? I thought it was five. One priest. But there again, there were several rooms at the rectory. One room was heated. Naturally, I went to confession to that room. So, Poland is a different situation. The problem there will be, of course, to preserve the faith. Because they will need a lot of education, having been, shall we say, educated by the communists for years. The day before we left Warsaw, the new Polish government almost but not quite revoked the abortion laws that were passed by the communists when they took over Poland. One of the first things that the communists did when they took over a country was to legalize abortion. How was that for a lesson to us? While in Poland, besides teaching the sisters, there were three meetings of all the superiors that the regional superior of Poland could round up. We had three meetings just for them. And this is both in Russia and in Poland. There was a need for good, sound, and I mean sound, Catholic literature. Now, for the missionaries of charity, that literature can and should be in English. For instructing other people. In Russia, many people already in high school, they want to learn and are learning English. I have here, just as an example, my good friend Father Miller came up with this small catechism. Remember the Penny Catechism in Russian? I would therefore strongly recommend that whatever information you can gather from Catholic sources, and those of you that are particularly, I don't know how to use the word interested, but want to be of some service, either by staying in the States or at least periodically going to these countries liberated from communism, let me know. Because then my third leg of the journey was in Rome. It's already 35 minutes I've been talking. Let me talk 4 more minutes, then I'll stop. We met, that means our Marian Ignatian catechists and myself. We met. I was to have met with Cardinal Ratzinger when my plane was late in getting into Rome, so he had to leave, and I met with the secretary. I didn't get a chance to speak with Cardinal Ratzinger personally. But we met at length and in depth with Cardinals Sanchez, the Prefect of the Congregation for the Clergy and of Catechetics for the Universal Church, Cardinal Trujillo, the one in charge of the Council for the Family, and Cardinal Gagnon, who is in charge of Eucharistic Congresses, especially now the forthcoming one in Seville, Spain. Just a word about each meeting, and of course I could talk for many hours regarding Eucharistic adoration. We promised both Cardinal Gagnon and the officials in charge of the Congress in Spain, we will have 17 people in Seville, Spain between the 7th and 13th of June of this year, who can handle some Spanish and travel not paid and no salary. Now what we're doing is finding out who are the people planning to go to Seville on the pilgrimage, and among those finding out would be qualified to do the work which the Congress needs to have done. while in Rome, I visited our Generate of the Society of Jesus, partnering with the Assistant General, my former student, my Father General. And listen, my Father General says, "You're doing great work in the United States. Keep it up." You can't imagine what that meant to me. He was in his cassock. And once more, I read a confession to him. He gave me a very mild penance. But from the Jesuit Generalate, I was in contact. They had been correspondence, phoning, and those two of our Marian catechists met with the one who is in charge of the Eucharistic Congress in Seville. That they met him at the turn of the present year, but from our general aide in Rome, he were in conversation and sent a fax message to Seville. I get a beautiful, detailed fax message and perfect Spanish from the director. All they would like to have us Americans do to help out in Seville, please let me know, would you? Then we had not just a meeting, but a board meeting. All of us, Cardinal Sanchez and his assistants, we spoke at length about catechetics, what we're doing. And again, warm, strong encouragement, especially in promoting the forthcoming catechism of the Catholic Church. And am I being taped? Videotaped too? I think I'll say it anyhow. Before the formal meeting, Cardinal Sanchez took me aside. He said, "You know, the Holy Father wants all the bishops to send representatives, that is, from the countries throughout the world, so that bishops will come to Rome at the end of April." Building on the forthcoming already in my Italian edition of the Catechism. Building on the Catechism to catechize the faithful. But the Cardinal told me, Holy Father wants representatives, that is, bishop representatives, from all the countries and not just the rich countries like America. He wants bishops from the poor countries of Asia and Africa. When they wrote back to the Holy Father and said, "We don't have the means of coming to Rome." For example, the Holy Father's former secretary, private secretary, whom I knew personally, you know, a bishop in Africa, he does not even have a telephone in his office. So he asked the cardinal, "What kind of money would you need to get these bishops to come to Rome?" Well, he said, "We'd need 50,000. Well, when I got back to the States, I got a phone call from Cardinal Sanchez. I was not in when he called, so I called him back. And he said, "Thanks for coming to Rome. I just thought I'd tell you, I found out 50,000 would not be enough." This is not a sales pitch. This is evangelization, American style. We'll need for the bishops up to 100,000. Last year's liabilities for the Holy See were 83 million in the red. We wealthy countries, I'll use the verb, wallowing in all that the world can provide. Praise God. Well, awake to the desperate hunger for Christ's truth in so many parts of the world that do not have our financial and material resources.